Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
You can get a podcast of this show on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. I don't know where you get your podcast. Wherever you listen to a podcast, you can get the Bald-Faced Truth podcast. And you can hear interviews like the one we're about to do with Valerie Cleary, the Portland State Athletic Director. She joins us now. Where are you right now, Valerie Cleary?
I'm actually sitting in my office watching soccer brave the rain for their workouts before they start their spring segment and just enjoying getting a lot of office work done.
I've never been in your office because I've never been invited there. And I imagine...
You're welcome anytime.
I imagine a lot of windows. You got big windows?
Yeah, I do. I sit on my perch here. I'm at the corner of the Peter W. Stott Center. So
Okay. Really
no one can get into the building without passing by me first. It's a great spot just because, I mean, one, I have distraction issues. So it's nice to be able just to turn my chair and be able to watch whoever's practicing out on the practice field. I get to see our student athletes coming and going. And I failed to mention when I do turn to look out the practice field, I have my John Canzano bobblehead proudly on my window seal.
Love it.
So it's you and Victory Viking and then the legendary Boise State football coach Lyle Smith. Those are my three bobbleheads that I have right on my window seal as I look out the window.
I like that. Chip Kelly asked me for one of those once upon a time. I had to send one down to him because he was like, I hear you have a bobblehead. I need to see it. So it's kind of a big deal to have a bobblehead. Maybe one day Valerie Cleary will have like bobblehead giveaway at the Viking Pavilion.
Well, if you've seen my hair, that's going to be one heck of a bobblehead. So that will take up some space.
Let's talk State of the Union. Let's start with basketball. It looks like women's basketball, you got that thing rolling. You have men's basketball, you got Barrett Peary. The Pavilion now, you've been in there for a while playing some games. Has the Pavilion been a success? Are people still finding it?
I would say, it's been a huge success for us. I mean, it really truly was a game changer for our entire athletics operation. I do think people are still finding it. I'm amazed still by how many people will come out to a game and they'll be like, gosh, I had no idea this is what you guys built. So I think the more and more that people just get accustomed to coming down and, the university's hosting a bunch of events there. And then as our product becomes better and better, it's a great place to watch really, really good college basketball. The Big Sky Conference has just an exceptional level of talent when it comes to basketball, and it's good. It's just a fun thing to come down and watch, and our venue does not have a bad seat. And you come down, have yourself a craft brew or a nice Oregon wine and sit here with some popcorn and watch some really good basketball.
But you're not doing anything to help the narrative. I tell my friends, this is what I do, and they say, oh, you must have a hot dog and a beer at games. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works for me. But fans can do that, and I got to be honest. I was in that building, and I was like, man, this is still like a little secret. Like, this is a great place to watch basketball. How about the women's program? What kind of traction do you feel like you've got right now on the women's side?
I just think in Oregon in general, there's just huge traction with women's basketball just here in the state of Oregon. I mean, with what Oregon is doing in Oregon State and then even us, I mean, having those three teams in the tournament last year did not hurt basketball in the state of Oregon. Then obviously Oregon did a great job with, for us being the city of Portland hosting the regional tournament, now being a finalist for the women's Final Four. So our women's team is just right in with that mix. We're a young team this year, so we're not quite at that same caliber as we were last year, but still super competitive in the Big Sky. We're sitting just a little over 500 right now. And so, it's been a hard year for us, though, because we're the lone wolf in our schedule. It's just unbalanced. So our ladies are actually getting ready to head out on the road tomorrow for a full week. So it's just, it's a hard travel schedule, but they're doing great.
Football-wise, I think the question for you is always going to be, until this gets solved, where are you guys going to play? How important is it to get a stadium? What is the latest at Portland State?
You know, it's funny that you say that, because there is not a phone call I will turn down if someone says they have an idea. The blessing and the curse of being an urban campus is just, you know, space. And we've looked at a bunch of different options. As many people know, you know, we definitely explored looking at downtown at that Lincoln High School site, too. And, you know, it's just, one, it's expensive to build down here, as anyone who's constructing downtown knows. But then it's hard to find enough space to build an adequate collegiate football stadium. And, you know, we're not looking to build an Autzen or anything like that. But, you know, to find something that could comfortably seat about 10,000, maybe a little less. It's a hard challenge, but we're up for it. We have a lot of people that are exploring options. We just kind of keep taking those phone calls and seeing what's out there and then presenting that information to the university to see if we could get that worked into the master plan.
Is there any chance that you do play at Lincoln High School? I mean, it just makes sense. I know we've talked about what it would take to partner with them, but is there ongoing hope there, or is that door closed at this point?
No, I think there's always ongoing hope there. I mean, and that's kind of the beauty is we know what will work there. We do know that. As of now, we know what we can make work there. What Lincoln High School is building is definitely more in alignment with what we've seen with, you know, the PIL and the regards to number of seats and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't work for us, but we would need to do some expansion. But we know it would work on that site. So nothing's really off the table. I mean, time-wise, if you've been down there, they've already started breaking ground and, you know, they're moving along with their projects, so it's definitely not on the timeline for when they're scheduled to open that we would have what we needed, but it's definitely something that's always on our radar.
College athletics is always changing, and, you know, you've got the name, image, likeness stuff going on. You're probably, you've got your ears on that. But also sort of where does Portland State fit long term? I hear people who wonder, hey, why do they play football? And I've always come back with, well, you have to if you want to stay in the Big Sky. Is that true? Am I selling truth there?
Yes. Yeah, no, totally. You know, it's one of those things on face value, it seems really simple. You know, people are like, well, you know, why would you have X, Y, or Z sport? You know, and it's a trickle down. You know, for the Big Sky Conference, football is one of our core sports. So if we don't have football, then we're not in this conference, which then impacts all of our programs. And anyone that follows this level of college sports knows that the Big Sky Conference is a really good conference for us to compete in, and it makes sense for a lot of our teams, especially when you step back and have the conversation about men's basketball. It makes complete sense. And so football's here to stay, and, you know, it's one of those things where it's like everyone has an opinion or an idea on it, but when you get down into the complexity of how conference alignment works, also how your NCAA funding works, it's not as easy just to remove a piece of the puzzle and make it smaller or replace it with something else. So it's complex on some levels, but also really simple on others. It's a core sport for the Big Sky Conference, so we will always be playing football.
Valerie Cleary, Portland State Athletic Director, is with us. Bruce Barnum in football, I know you want to see him get back to the point where he can get back in the playoffs. Do you feel like he has that traction?
For sure. I mean, you know, I'm constantly impressed because everyone knows what our challenges are, especially against our peers, you know, whether it's a facilities challenge or, you know, the blessing or the curse of being in downtown Portland. I mean, whatever it might be, everyone knows kind of what those challenges are when it comes to football. But Barney and his staff have done an exceptional job of recruiting young men that fit not only with Portland, but this institution and also with our football program. And I'm just continually impressed. I mean, even just tracking what Charlie Tamapeo has been doing, you know, the last few weeks and just, you know, all of the national recognition that our student athletes are receiving. Local kid Anthony Adams out of Newburgh has just been killing it in regards to national recognition. And so we recruit a really, really good student athlete here. And I'm just really excited to see what the future holds. You know, we're going to have a lot of people fighting for their spot next year. So spring ball starts for us next week. We call it winter ball here just because of the way that our quarter lines up. But so we go a little bit earlier. And there's going to be some guys out there having to prove themselves because they got someone nipping at their heels for their spot.
Valerie Cleary with us, Portland State's AD. We talk a lot about finances when it comes to the Pac-12 versus the other Power 5 peers. The money games that you play in football are super important in the Big Sky, and I kind of look around at what different places are doing and what they're getting for those games. What's the market right now to play Portland State if you're a Power 5 program?
Well, we're trying to budget that we're going to bring in about $1 million is what we're looking at. So most of our kind of Power 5 opponents, whether it's in the Pac-12 or whomever, is, you know, we're looking at anywhere around between 475 and 575. You know, it's kind of in that range that people are looking at. We're scheduled out with our guarantee games all the way through 2027 right now. And, you know, so we just constantly are looking for not only what makes financial sense, but also what makes competitive sense for us too. You know, for us always to kind of have a deal with Oregon State, Washington State, even Washington in the region, I think is really exciting for our fans and our student athletes. This next year, you know, we're at Arizona and Oregon State, so that's always a fun thing to keep it out here in the West. But it was also a great experience for us to head out to the SEC country this past season to go play Arkansas. So we're always looking for those opportunities, but we definitely have to weigh out what makes the most sense for us.
It feels like if the Big Sky Conference members just got together and said, look, we're not going to play these games unless we get $750,000 or above, that you guys could kind of set the market. I don't know if that's legal, but that's what I would suggest to you guys.
Right. It might be bordering on collusion, but we could give it a try.
You know what I mean, though? Like, if you just said, hey, we're not playing anything under $750,000, and so did Sac State, and you know, everybody went down the line, UC Davis, Weber State. Suddenly, I think all those schools are going, we got to play this game.
Yeah. I'm going to let you do that work for me. I'm not going to put anything on the record right now, but it would be great. You know, we have a little bit of a system. We know what our peers are receiving for those type of games or what other schools are paying out. So we kind of have a way to assess that, but everything kind of stays in that market value range. But, you know, as time goes on and, you know, different scheduling things or different conference alignments or however it works, you know, it definitely changes what schools are willing to pay out and what they're willing to receive to take those games.
What's going to happen with name, image, likeness, and how is it a different conversation for you than maybe the Pac-12 universities?
Yeah, you know, that's the wild card question. We don't know. And anyone that sits out there right now and says that they have an idea of what the actual impact is, they're fooling themselves. We don't know until that thing comes into practice. We really don't. I don't think it's going to have the same level of impact for us. You know, that's kind of the beauty of this FCS level is, you know, we kind of get to stay on the fringes of the glitz and glamour of collegiate athletics. You know, we have the purity of it still. So we don't know. We really don't. You know, there's different things that go around about, you know, if a student athlete wants to have their own business, those kind of things that might happen, you know, with a few that either want to do some training stuff or they have some sort of connection. But I don't foresee it being as huge of an impact as what folks might think it's going to be. Even at that Power 5 level, it might really impact a handful, but then that then trickles down into recruiting and all sorts of other areas. So I think it's a waiting game, just to wait and see what happens.
You are one of the I don't want to say pioneers, but you are a female athletic director that is visible. And I love that because I think young girls can go, hey, I can be the AD at a university one day. And did you have people that you looked up to when you were maybe in elementary school or high school and you aspired to maybe be where you are?
You know, of course, I mean, you see, you know, and you know where I grew up, John. I grew up in a little town in Northern California, about 3,000 people, where the aspiration was working at the local Les Schwab and, you know, taking advantage of free beef when they used to do that. But for me, you know, there's just so many women out there that do exceptional things on the daily. I mean, your wife being one of them. And I think anytime young women can see other women doing what they're passionate about, I think it inspires them. And I mean, even just I'm standing here out the window right now and I'm watching our head women's soccer coach and her assistant Mo and all these young women out in the field and just knowing their backstory of what they're going to do. These young women aren't going to go on to play professional soccer. Maybe one or two of them maybe might do something overseas. For the most part, you know, they're looking at majoring in the health sciences, you know, biology, communications, business. And, you know, they're going to take that skill set that they've learned out here on the field and go. So there's a lot of women. I mean, especially in the field of athletics, I was fortunate enough to work under two phenomenal women at Boise State. Lisa Parker, who had since she's passed on, but Christina Van Tol, who's still there. And just to watch how they impact the lives of young men and women and just interact in the department really was an inspiration.
I think, too, that, you know, I look across and, you know, I know you know, the athletic director at UNLV and you and some others, and I'm always encouraged because I, you know, it's not a senior women's athletic director, it's the athletic director, and I think we need more of that. I've got daughters. I like the fact that Valerie Cleary's out there doing good things at a university. So there.
Well, thank you.
That's where I stand. All right. Valerie, I appreciate you, and I love checking in with you and also your coaches. Love bringing Barrett Peary on the show, and we'll continue to do that. So thanks for making time.
Yeah, well, come on out. I'll show you my office. You could sign my bobblehead. We got Eastern, men's basketball playing Eastern this Saturday, so I'm ready for you.
All right.
I'll have the autograph right across the top of your head here.
Finally, an invitation. Thank you, Valerie.
All right, have a good day.
All right, there she is, Valerie Cleary. I'll be honest with you. I think college athletics is a hard enough place for a woman to become athletic director. If you're the kind of person, you know, you go and you're in an MBA program and you got a choice, you know, am I going to go work in a Fortune 500 company? Am I going to work at an athletic department? I think, you know, you've already got a, you already have the deck stacked against you. So I do think that, like, growing up, a lot of young women would go, you know what, I might as well go the Fortune 500 route because then I don't have to deal with that other influence that has traditionally been there in athletic departments, that is a male-dominated world. So I always feel good when I see, and we've got in our state, I think, really good ADs. I think Rob Mullins at Oregon is really good. I think Scott Barnes at Oregon State is keeping his word. He's investing in football. But Valerie Cleary at Portland State, Portland State better hang on to her, because I think a Power 5 university would look and say, wow, look what she's done. She knows how to make more with less. She's, you know, doing good things with the pavilion and Portland State. If she gets a football stadium built, look out. Good stuff from Valerie Cleary. Leave it here. Police in Redmond have arrested a couple that was engaged in some criminal activity. Also in Bend, a second couple got in trouble. I know Valentine's Day is coming up, but don't get arrested as a couple, and especially don't get arrested doing this. Both of these couples, not related, not friends, totally unrelated issues. Both of these couples were busted forging Dutch Bros coffee punch cards. Police in Redmond saw a Craigslist ad offering to sell Dutch Bros punch cards. You know, you go through the Dutch Bros and they say, oh, you want a coffee? You get a coffee, and then they give you a little card, and I think you do 10 or 12 and you get a free coffee. Apparently, they knew somebody who had worked at Dutch Bros, so they had a stack of 675 punch cards. And over a series of months, had gone to Dutch Bros and got free coffee and food to the tune of $2,000. It caught the eye of Dutch Bros, who said, wait a minute, we don't sell punch cards. And they called the police. Police followed up on it and found that this couple had obtained a stamp and obtained blank cards, and they were making the punch cards. Stupid. Going to jail. 10 days in jail.
That's good on Dutch, though, because they are like a smaller, a quote-unquote smaller company, but yeah, still. Good on them.
And apparently he's not the only one. Couple in Bend did the same thing. They also, no surprise, found methamphetamine on both couples. So, don't know if that's correlated, but earn your punch cards. Don't be the Houston Astros of coffee drinkers, okay? Earn it. Tomorrow's show will be lively. On tomorrow's show, we got Rebecca Black, who sang the song Friday. Also, Joe Moorhead will be with us on tomorrow's show. Oregon.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.